Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, one of the biggest challenges in climbing up the career ladder is proving to your employees that you're worthy of trust or promotion, or ultimately simply earning more money. And it's difficult to strike the balance between being a likeable colleague, but also an employee who is taken seriously. Owen McDermott from the Communications Clinic joins us in studio this morning to guide us through how to be taken seriously at work and what are the biggest things people do that let themselves down. Is it possible, Owen, to have yourself taken seriously? Can you study this, or is it not a more a natural phenomenon?
No, I think it's probably a combination of both. It can be particularly natural for some people, and then for others you can work on it. I think it probably boils down to three things. Are you competent to do the job is the big thing, because if you don't have the competence, it's going to be very difficult to be taken seriously. Do you understand what your boss cares about, I think is an important one. Again, people can miss that. And then also, do you have ability to build relationship with your colleagues and influence people? And on that, I think people, if they view themselves as almost like a mini company, that you have a service to offer, there happen to be customers who are your colleagues, and then you do the marketing bit, which is telling everybody how good you are. Yeah. But you have to be pretty good to be able to do that, and that comes back to the delivery.
Yeah,
can you do the job?
And not only that, but if you need to tell people how good you are, that's blowing your trumpet, and you can blow the trumpet in a discreet way or in a way that's quite screechy. So it depends on
the
person.
Well, that's it.
You can annoy people.
And if you were able to deliver at points and touch points with your colleagues, in fact, that you probably don't need to do it at all. Like if you're able to deliver on projects, or if you, for example, are consistently good in meetings, which is a very simple one.
Yeah.
But that often actually people fall down on. There's a person who has come to me recently for communication skills because they felt that the ideas they were offering at meetings just weren't landing. But in fact, when we looked at it, it wasn't that the ideas weren't good, it was that she didn't have an ability to present them in a meaningful way for her colleagues. She hadn't prepared the types of questions they were going to ask her, the critical questions they were going to ask her, and she would give up.
Yeah.
She came, well, they're not taking me seriously. But it wasn't that she was bad, it was just that she wasn't putting in the prep and thinking about them properly.
Okay, so the planning is important.
Oh,
you can't just swan in and say, here's what I'm thinking. Let's talk about the first impression and creating the right impression early.
Yeah, well, there is a cliche of first impressions count, and in fact they do actually. Yeah, and Malcolm Gladwell has written a really interesting book called Blink that's all about it, and he talks extensively about it. And that kind of, we have been developed from Neanderthal times to be able to make decisions pretty quickly, friend or foe. So your first impression does count. And also, though, within organisations, when you start or at points of transition, you've kind of fertile ground to be able to build a profile of yourself. So for anybody who's starting in a new role or with a new boss, or in a restructuring, there's huge opportunities to make those first impression. And obviously what it would be to deliver on the job, because there is that piece where you condition people to have a view of you and you condition responses from them. There was a guy called Pavlov who did it with his dogs.
Yeah.
Pavlovian dogs, where he would ring a bell and began to condition responses from them. And a psychologist in the States developed on that called Skinner, and he found that we do essentially the same things with other human beings. And people in jobs condition responses from their colleagues and from their bosses. What you'd hope is that would response would be a positive one.
Yeah.
But if people are consistently making little mistakes, like for example briefs coming to their boss or reports that have wee typos in it, there's always that thing of you're just not perfect and you're just not right, which again makes it very difficult to be taken seriously in the job.
The first impression in business is intriguing, because some people make a judgment pretty quickly when they meet someone. They shake the hand, they look them in the eye and say, no, you're not for me. And then somebody else might say, you meet somebody, you go, I like the cut of your jib immediately.
Yeah.
You know, there's a friendliness or a warmth. Or, isn't it funny? You tend to make that decision.
We do, and Gladwell's view was that you probably aren't wrong, actually, that a lot
right.
of it tends to
the instinct
be,
is
yeah,
correct,
that
yeah.
it has been over a whole series of many little experiences that have influenced that. But I heard you were talking to Deirdre, the mum with the young girl with the glasses,
yeah.
but actually studies have shown, for example, that people who wear glasses, there is a perception anyway that they're brighter and smarter,
which
is one of those things that again is a first impression to come through.
Mm.
And that leads to your own appearance in the workplace, how you're presenting yourself. Are you appropriate with the culture of the organisation? So for example, if it's formal, are you kind of blending in a little bit rather than wearing particularly loud clothes? And that's something that people can get often wrong, which is a simple thing, where their clothes are probably a little louder than they are, or a little louder than their competence, which is, you'd be known for the guy who wears that or the woman who wears that rather than the person who delivers on their project.
Right, because God help them, there's always one person who wears the clothes that are just kind of maybe outrageous.
Yes.
And for some that could be considered to be a kind of a pleasant expression of one's individuality.
Yes.
And then somebody else might think they look mad.
Well, and whether it's one or the other, if they're brilliant at their job, you'd kind of say, well, we'll leave
you
them
hope,
to it,
yes.
Because they can get away with it. Whereas if you're going to be just solid, I'd wonder whether wearing the sequins suit is the best
is
approach.
The best idea, the gold lamé suit in the job in the civil service.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, let's talk a bit about reputation.
Yeah.
Let's say you make that mistake in the job, the one that everyone holds over your head till the end of time. How do you get out of that corner and regain the respect?
Yeah, well, that's probably looking at when you would make a huge error or a big mistake. And I think probably what I have found working with organisations and with people is that making one big mistake probably isn't earth-shattering. That if you acknowledge it and if you can deal with it and if you can prove that you have learned from it, I think people are actually quite forgiving. Where they're not forgiven is if it happens over and over and over again. So that it's that repetitive cocking up or making a mistake that can actually cause a difficulty. I suppose it's getting back on the horse as quickly as possible of being able to fix it, and then being able to prove that you've learned from it by getting into some decent projects and delivering on them.
Okay, and then being noticed. You know, how do you separate yourself from the herd? And people say, you know, it's all very well to be conforming and in dress and in manner, but you want to be noticed. You want to be seen as the one most likely to.
Yeah, but you want to be, yes, totally. And I think it's back to that you deliver and you're competent and you are seen as being good at what you do. It's also being noticed for the right reasons. You know, I've worked with a lot of managers who find that they are noticing their staff because they're being a pain in the neck and they haven't talked. So their staff are quite vocal. But that's actually an annoyance for the manager. And it's back to that figuring out and for people to figure, well, what actually does my boss care about?
Yes.
And how do I get noticed and how do I get taken? I was working with a guy recently who didn't get a job that he was hoping for. He thought he was doing a great one, in fact. He was delivering on his sales targets. He was actually thought he was doing a great job. But his boss told him, well, I don't just care about the sales targets. I care about what you're like with your colleagues. Are you developing your own people? And therefore, he couldn't get the job and he wasn't aware of this and he never asked.
Yeah.
What do you actually care about? So that can often be a mistake people make where they'll think being overly vocal or overly aggressive or putting themselves out there is actually what gets mattered or what gets noticed. But sometimes if that's not what the boss wants or that's not what the culture of the organisation desires, it means that you're pitching the wrong thing.
Yeah, the culture is an interesting word because some places will be all about sell. And others will be all about, like, let's get on together and hopefully make a book like everyone else, but yeah, don't be obnoxious.
Yeah, and you see, people need to make a call. I've worked with a woman to get her out of an organisation that's particularly aggressive, kind of eat what you kill kind of feel to it. And it just didn't fit her, and she didn't have she couldn't make herself aggressive to fit with that. And now she's in a much more laid-back organisation, which fits for her. On the flip side of that, I'm working with a guy recently whose boss sent him to me. He's technically excellent, but he's too aggressive and he needed a little bit of that edge taken off him where he would be able to build relationships. He wouldn't be as immediately attacking or critical of his colleagues.
His manner's a little off.
Yeah, you know, for that organisation, whereas in his previous one, he fitted completely appropriately. So it again is being able to understand that and get a feel for what they're looking for.
And that's where workplaces are really political.
Completely.
I mean, you're really in a very, very anthropologically complicated existence.
Well, I think if you boil it down from the complicated to a very simple principle to follow, that every time you encounter another human being, you're either building or unbuilding a relationship. Mm. You're either making it that bit better or you're making it a little worse.
Mm.
And for people who are in the workplace dealing with colleagues, what you're always trying to do is have an enhanced relationship with them.
Yeah. Not easily done all the time. What about the person in the office who's very giddy and bubbly and excited and excitable and full of devilment and mischief, but actually is very good at their job but has problems being taken seriously?
Yeah, and they need to be able to flip into, I think, the right persona for the right time.
Exactly.
Because I think having a great personality and warm and bubbly is lovely to have around in the office, but that they're able then to, when the serious rubber hits the road, that they're able to click into that. Some people are very aware of that and have an ability to be quite analytical in their own behaviour. Others need a boss to tell them, and sometimes if they feel they're not being taken taken seriously, is to ask and say, well, look, what are you looking for? What do you want and what do you care about? But I would never really ask someone to iron themselves flat or to remove their personality, because it's so special and so unique, and actually that type of approach can bring a lot to the mood of the organisation.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about, say, a sort of a very male-dominated workplace for women? Can women... Do women have to be more masculine? I mean, look at the politics this week. There's only one woman in Fianna Fáil now.
That's it.
Mary White. I mean, what does she have to do? Grow a moustache? I mean, how does she... not her personally, you know what I mean?
But that's a very good example. In fact, there does have to be, again, that chameleon-like approach to adapting within it and understanding what is coming through. And men tend to have a much easier time, and it will be difficult in a male-dominated area, because men tend to talk about sport, they tend to talk about things that are interested, and for women to get into that, it's particularly difficult. One of the things that is said is that you, again, are trying to be as interested in others and as supportive of your colleagues.
Yeah.
One of the women contribute incredibly amount is to that mood within it. Interestingly though, on the appearance side, there was a study done in the 1990s about people who would be considered for roles, and it was found that women who wore more masculine seeming clothes, so darker shades, more suits, would be considered more for jobs than if they weren't. So for women, they can be particularly
they
much
have to
more
de-feminise.
Slightly, yes indeed. And it has to fit with the organisation and the look for the place.
Isn't it? Because when you think of the most powerful woman in the world, as announced in the papers today, is Angela Merkel.
Mm.
And I don't think there's a person alive who could tell you what her style is. And she does that for a reason, as you probably know. She wears clothes that say, it doesn't matter, damn, neck up only, please.
Yeah,
and interesting. She's quite smart.
Yeah, totally. She's kind of quite different to other people who bring in clothes consultants who say, well, help me get dressed to be noticed.
Yeah.
In fact, she's dressed not to be noticed. And it is that thing of being able to fit, and does the appearance fit? For example, if you go to US presidents, it would be said of course Reagan and Kennedy were pretty good, but they also looked the part.
Yeah.
And President Harding, I think he was the 29th president, who's recognised as one of the worst presidents, but was recommended to the Republican Party because he looked presidential. So there is that thing of, do you fit, do you conform?
Yeah.
And it can sound awful that using that word conform can be a little negative, but it is that you are fitting the part.
Okay. Finally, another aspect to this is setting up a business or working freelance as something that, whether it's a hairdresser or a journalist or shopkeeper, whatever it might be, you have no fallback on a company because it's all on you as the individual. So how can you get that initial business and show people, look, I'm real, this is happening?
It's back to the delivery and your network. So it is back to the piece around, are you competent and are you providing a service? So you would see it a lot with people who might be freelance journalists, no more than freelance makeup artists, of being able to have a track record of delivery, but also then being able to work that network. It can be turning up at some events, but it's developing a portfolio of successes that you're able to present, and people see, gosh, that's meaningful, and they can do the job.
Get the trumpet out and get busy. can you please talk, text says, can you please talk about dealing with depression and trying to maintain professionalism, I suppose, while battling it. Good point. Or, you know, a mental illness of any description, if you like, or an illness. How do you...
Well, there's a lot of stuff. There's a guy called Seligman who had a piece of research and a lot of work around resilience in the workplace and how it actually is an incredibly important aspect for sales positions. It's actually a great book for somebody who is in that position of the texter by Maureen Gaffney called Flourishing, again talks at length about how to have a positive outlook on life and how it can make your workplace a more positive environment, although it can be incredibly difficult for someone who isn't that way to find work, something that they can get passionate about.
The fit is everything, Ryan says the text. It's actually fairly straightforward convincing a company to employ you and that you are the right fit, but if the cultural fit is poor, it is you that will have to adapt, and that can be stressful. You have to be true to yourself, says James.
You do, and that's the example of the guy whose boss sent him to me to knock the edges off him a little bit and make him a wee bit more appropriate for that culture.
Yeah.
Technically excellent, could present himself very well in interview, but when they found him that his interactions with his peers was just a little inappropriate, that again is back on the more aggressive or less aggressive.
Is it fixable?
It is fixable, and sometimes it is, but no more than the person who couldn't make herself felt more aggressive. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah, the personality is fully formed.
And for the person who wasn't aggressive enough that we helped get out and into a new organisation, she found that eroding her own confidence and eroding her positivity whilst in that environment that she couldn't fit and couldn't work. So the texter's right. Sometimes, yes, of course, it's fixable, but it is through training and repetition and being incredibly self-aware of doing, of working yourself out of it. I think there's a guy, Maxwell Maltz, who had a study that says it takes about 21 days to get a habit. That's repeatedly doing the same thing over and over again. But a university in London recently looked at it and said it takes about 80 days. So it's somewhere between that, about 3 months of consciously working at something to get a changed behaviour. And people tend to have behaved in a certain way because it has worked. Okay. That guy's aggressive because it worked in his last place, but he needed to knock it out of him and actually be more more open to relationships than he had been previously.
Okay, last one from Mark says, what about the person that takes the credit for the work that others do and also looking for attention all the time when the boss is around?
Yeah, that tends to, again, I think we kind of are a little negative in relation to our boss's capacity to spot that.
Oh, right, okay,
I think bosses are actually very clear. Human beings are incredibly talented at picking up subtle behaviours and being able to make decisions on them. So, yeah, there is, and that can be incredibly frustrating for that person's peers. But I have a figure that the boss can sniff it out pretty quickly.
Spot a crawler if they see one coming. All right, Owen McDermott of the Communications Clinic. Good to see you again. Thanks for your time this morning.